For our scripture reading, I'll be reading out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. And it says, "Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show pity at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God."
They say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a heavenly meaning put alongside an earthly story so that we can understand it. And if you've been here on Wednesday nights in the adult class, Mike has been teaching parables. It's a favorite study. It's a wonderful study, and I've really benefited from that particular study. But how is it that you take a heavenly truth and put it in such a way that you and I can understand it? Well, you use something that we're familiar with, and then we're able to make it and see it and have application. I want you to consider tonight the home. As you go from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, you've got God creating the world, the universe. We talked about that this morning for a moment, and then we get to verses 26 and 27 of Genesis 1, where God says, "Let us make man." And so He makes man in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. And then you get into chapter 2, and we get a little more detail of what happened in chapter 1 with the week of creation. And you understand the Bible says there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7 that from the dust of the earth, God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And then by the end of chapter 2, the Bible tells us that God sees that it is not good for man to be alone, and so He puts Adam to sleep and He performs a surgery. He takes one of his ribs, and from that rib, He creates a woman. And He brings her to the man. And the man says, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of the man." And then we find that the two become one flesh. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And there we have a home. That's the picture that we get of the home. In chapter 3, we find that sin enters the home, enters into the world. And now the man and his wife, they're not separated from one another, but now they are separated from God out of the garden. Now they're taken, they're punished, and they're outside the garden. And then it's interesting because in chapter 4, the Bible says that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and she bore Cain. And then she's going to bear another son, and his name is Abel. Cain is going to kill his brother Abel. And by the end of chapter 4, you've got one son that is dead, one son that is alive but has a mark because he has killed his brother, and then she conceives a third son, and his name is Seth. The Bible will use the home, God will use the home for the rest of Scripture to make multiple points. We're familiar with the home. We understand the need for the home. Again, we understand that it was God who first made the home, and the home was the first thing He made. It's the oldest institution that God made that is still in existence. And we learn a lot of great lessons from the home. One is authority. I want us to think tonight for a few minutes about authority. Now, you and I can grasp authority because we can grasp the concept of the home. How is Jesus going to describe His relationship with His Father? Well, He's going to use a father-son relationship. Why? Because we can grasp that. You and I can understand that. We're familiar with fathers and sons. We see this relationship is laid out for us, and the Bible is going to tell us a lot about that relationship in the home and ultimately how that corresponds to our relationship with God. If you want to know how your relationship with God should look, then look at the home. God is going to use it as a parable. He's going to use it to explain a great heavenly truth. I'm not going to explain something probably tonight that's brand new to you, but I continue to think to myself, Adam, if this doesn't get said, if we don't talk about this, then it doesn't get talked about. And if it doesn't get talked about, then we raise a generation that doesn't know. And I can't have that. I'm not interested in that, and I don't believe you are either. So there are simple things that we need to be reminded of from time to time that will help us in our relationship with God and will help us in our relationship with one another. I've come tonight to discuss the fifth commandment, commandment number 5. If you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, you'll find it. It's not new. You know this one. And you also understand, as I do, that when you turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, you are not turning to your law or mine. We understand that this is not the law that we are under today. You can go ask religious people in the world, are we under the Ten Commandments? And most often they will say yes. But you and I understand that the old law was abolished at the cross, that we are no longer bound by the Ten Commandments. They are no longer our law, and yet they are there for our learning. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Commandment number 5 is in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your God gives you. I first want to do tonight is give the principle. If you're taking notes, this is number 1. It's the principle. The principle, again, is not complicated or over anyone's head. In fact, it is a principle that we do our best to teach our children from the time that they're very, very little. We want to instill in them the need to honor their father and mother. But I'm afraid that sometimes we get older in life and we think, well, that's just for little kids. It's kind of like the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. We think that's nothing but a kid's song. No, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's nothing but a kid's song. Wrong. Honor your father and mother. That's for little kids. You're wrong again. In fact, who's going to be able to comprehend honor your father and mother? A little kid? Big kids. Big kids are going to be able to comprehend the command of God to honor your father and mother. Now, do we want to instill that from the time that they're little? Absolutely. But are they going to understand what that means or understand all of the ramifications? Absolutely not. But you have to instill it in them when they're young so that when they get big, they understand, oh, I get it. This comes from God. This is what God teaches. And I want to do what God says. If you back up and you begin reading in verse 1, here's the other commandments that come before number 5. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Number 3, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So there are 4 commandments that come before verse number 12. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an idol for yourself. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And you shall remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. All of these connected to God. All of these commands go upward toward the direction of heaven. No other gods. Do not take my name in vain. You shall have no idols. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's all upward in its direction. But commandment number 5, if you want to please God, this one goes outward to your fellow man. This one goes outward to honor your father and mother. It is not a complicated command. In fact, it's there in Exodus chapter 20. It's repeated in the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 16. Very same words are found. Very similar words are found. Again, You shall honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged on the land, you may live long on the earth. But then we find it repeated in our law in the New Testament. And again, we can quote these verses. These verses are not complicated and we understand them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, 1. Or how about Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. So how many things can I disobey my parents? The answer is nothing. Obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, caveat, I think that that applies, of course. You have to use a little common sense and see the rest of entirety of Scripture. If something is being pushed that is ungodly, if parents are pushing young people to do something that is against God, who do we obey? The same as a marriage. The marriage doesn't have to be dissolved because one is a Christian and one is not. But if a non-Christian is forcing their spouse to do something that is ungodly, who are you bound to? You're bound to God. Same with children. But children are to honor their parents. The principle is given to us in language that we can easily understand. So when it comes to the relationship between children and parents, children are to obey their parents. They are to obey their parents. This is a principle that is stated very plainly in Scripture. My buddy Waylon, he's been teaching some of these young people, the young guys on Wednesday nights, and I think this has started in his home, and then he's brought it here, and I really appreciate it. If you ask one of these young men or ask one of Waylon's children, how do you obey? You know what they'll say? First, fast, and with a good attitude. First, fast, and with a good attitude. That's how you obey your parents. That's very important for us to understand. And you say, well, this lesson really isn't designed for me at all. I mean, my kids are way grown, or, you know, my kids are out of the house, or I don't have any kids, and so I really can just tune this one out. I'm telling you, what this is a parable for us to understand our relationship to God. Can I ask you, how do we obey God? First, fast, and with a good attitude. It's an extension of our relationship with God. But God has given it to us in a way that we can understand. And what we're talking about tonight really comes down to authority. It really comes down to what we're looking at and authority. The principle laid out in Scripture is that children are to obey their parents. Number two, what we find under this particular point of the principle, the command given to children is to honor their parents, right? That's in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. That's also found in the New Testament. George read for us a moment ago, 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm afraid, again, what we do is we think that this applies to little kids or only to kids who are living at home. And I'm reminding us that this principle is not just for kids who are living at home, but this is a responsibility to any child who has parents who are still with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Sound familiar? Kind of sounds like Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is acceptable to the Lord. Children need to continue to practice piety, reverence, honor, to show respect to their parents even when grown. The idea of the word is deep respect. And so the principle that God lays out in Scripture is that children are to obey their parents. Children are to reverence or respect deeply their parents even when out of the house. Paul's talking to people who are grown here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 4. And I want to say under this point, number 3, what is the responsibility of children to parents? Obey, show respect, and care. Provide care. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse number 8. If anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do you catch that? Do you want God to look at you as worse than an unbeliever? Fail to care for your parents, and he will look at you as worse than an unbeliever. That is very strong language, isn't it? How serious is God about your relationship with your parents? Can I just say it? He's very serious about it. He is extremely serious about your relationship with your parents. I don't believe I've read any verses tonight and taken them out of context. I don't think I've twisted or turned them. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the principle laid out in the Bible is very clear. Children, from the time that they are young to the time that they are getting older, they are to obey their parents. They are to show respect to their parents. They are to care for their parents in their time of need. And you say, well, Adam, isn't it true that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two should become one flesh? And isn't it true that now you have separated yourself from your parents, and now it is your home? And the answer is yes. The Bible teaches that. But so long as that relationship, so long as there are child and parent, there is reverence and respect and care that must be provided. I still will call my parents and I'll ask them, what do you think about this situation? Now, I'm my own man with my own home. They get that. Any godly parent does. They understand that not necessarily do they have the same amount of control that they once did, but I'm still interested in what they have to say. I still want to know what their thoughts are. There's a reverence there. There's a respect there that I continue to have for my mom and dad. But if they gave me ungodly advice, of course I wouldn't listen. I hope I wouldn't. There's a principle that's laid out in Scripture. But there's a problem that is creeping into the church. And I'm afraid that if we don't talk about it, it won't get talked about. And I think we need to talk about it. I could use all fingers of one hand to tell you families currently within the body of Christ. I'm not talking necessarily here at Westside, but in the body of Christ, I could give you at least five examples of children who have left home, may have families of their own, and they have walked away from their parents. They have ghosted their parents, in essence. That's a young person's term, but they've stopped talking to them. They've stopped answering phone calls. They've stopped answering texts. They've just severed a relationship. And the side that I'm on, the side that I get is the parents. And they come to me and they say, Adam, I have no idea what happened. It's as if we had a relationship one day and the next day they just left. They just walked away. And I don't even know what happened. I thought everything was okay. And what you find out is that these grown children go back in their childhood and they take issue with something that has occurred in the past. And they blame mom and dad for something that's going on in their lives. And they say, well, I'm just done with you, mom and dad. And the sad thing is, often these are grandparents. And these grown children take their grandparents from their grandchildren. And you say, I haven't heard about this. I hope not. But I'm telling you, it's happening. And it's not in the world, it's in the church. These are Christians severing these relationships. These are Christians that are walking away from their parents. These are Christians who are showing no reverence and no respect. They're showing no piety. They're showing no care. And I'm telling you tonight that to me seems very ungodly. And it's wrong. It ought not to be. I can't understand in my mind how that aligns itself at all with what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18. When you are wronged, you are to go to the one who wronged you. You are to talk about it. You are to discuss it. And what's happening is they're not even willing to come to the table. In these instances that I'm thinking of, the children are not even coming to the table. They're not discussing it. They've just ghosted them. They've just walked away. They said, I don't want anything to do with you. And they take their little grandkids and they walk away. It's breaking a principle that God has laid out. And it's something that we need to care about because there is a troubling trend that is occurring. I was talking to someone recently who is looking into becoming a licensed professional counselor. And in the schooling, what they're being taught these days is something that is called a systematic therapy approach. And it seems ungodly and unbiblical to me. But in essence, what they're teaching these new therapists, this new wave of therapy, is that what you need to do is just reach into the past of somebody and look at all of their past relationships. And in essence, whatever has caused them harm, you just need to sever. You know, whatever you disagree with, you just need to sever that relationship. They call this the systematic therapy approach. And so, again, it gives a license to these young people to just say, well, Mom and Dad, I disagreed with something you did back there, and I think you harmed me in some way, and so I'm just going to cut off the relationship. But I'm telling you, that approach, that systematic approach, where you just look at these relationships and whoever, whatever has harmed you, you just cut it off and sever it, it's not biblical. What you're doing is you're just blaming somebody else for your problem. Tell me where that's biblical. Where it's automatically somebody else's fault. I don't have to look in the mirror and make any changes in my life. I just blame it on somebody else. That's ungodly. That's not biblical. There's a principle that is very easy for us to understand. And if you want God to look at you as worse than an unbeliever, then walk away and provide no care for a parent in a time of need. I want to end tonight by looking at a picture that I think will help us. I really like this picture. In Jeremiah chapter 35, here's a parable, in essence, that God gives us. And I'm just saying these things to help us avoid some of these problems, help us to keep our homes together. That God says, your home is an extension of your relationship with me. And I want you to obey your parents. I want you to show piety and reverence. I want you to show care for your parents. I want this to be an extension of your relationship with me. Jesus says, my Father is pleased with me because I always do those things that please him. There's a relationship there that Jesus has with the Father, and that's ultimately what we're striving for as the children of God. I want to read this with you. I hope you have your Bibles open. I want you to read it with me in Jeremiah chapter 35, and this is all that I've come to say tonight. The word which came to Jeremiah, beginning in verse 1, from Yahweh in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them into the house of Yahweh, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. So God comes to Jeremiah, take the Rechabites into the temple, give them wine to drink. Verse 3, then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Hasbaniah, and his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of Yahweh, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was beside the chamber of the officials, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. If you're familiar with the temple in that day, he's just told you exactly what room he took them in. It was above this one. It was beside this one. All right, you got it. There's the room. Verse number 5. Then I put before the men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will not drink wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink wine, you or your sons forever. And you shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant a vineyard or own one. But tents you shall inhabit all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. So we have listened to the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father. In all that he commanded us not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to inhabit, and we do not have vineyard or field or seed. We have only inhabited tents and have listened and have done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it happened that when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, we said, come, let us come to Jerusalem before the military force of the Chaldeans and before the military force of the Armenians. So we have inhabited Jerusalem. Now pause. You get the picture. It's not a complicated one. God says, Jeremiah, go and call these Rechabites, bring them into the temple, set wine before them and tell them to drink it. So he does. And he sets the cups and the wine, the pitchers of wine, and he said, go ahead and take a drink. And they said, no way. Well, why? It's right there. You got the cups, you got the pitchers. Why wouldn't you drink it? And they said, because our dad said not to. We're not going to do it because our father told us not to do that. They've got a prophet of God looking at them right in the face. God has told Jeremiah to bring them in. He has told them to tell them to drink wine. And to the prophet, they said no. Why? Only because our dad said not to. We're not going against him. He gave us a command. We're not going to break it. Now, did God know that's what they were going to say? The answer is yes, because we continue in verse 12. Then the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive discipline by listening to my words, declares Yahweh? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are established. So they do not drink wine to this day, for they have listened to their father's command. But I have spoken to you, rising up early and speaking, yet you have not listened to me. You get what God is saying? I called those Rechabites in here because I knew that they weren't going to drink that wine because they knew their father told them not to. And yet God says, I, as your father, have been giving you commands and you won't listen to me. It's a parable. He's getting their attention. Verse 15. Also, I have sent to you all my slaves, the prophets, rising up early and sending, saying, turn now every man from his evil way and make good your deeds, and do not walk after other gods to serve them. Then you will inhabit the land which I have given to you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear or listened to me. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have established the command of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not listened to me. That's what God says. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the harmful evil that I have spoken against them, because I spoke to them, but they did not listen. And I have called them, but they did not answer. Then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have listened to the command of Jonadab your father, kept all his commands and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not have a man cut off from standing before me always. Do you want to know what the picture of children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? You want to know what that looks like? Jeremiah 35. That's what it looks like. Honor your father and mother. Do you know what it looks like? That's what it looks like. It's children, grown children, still respecting what their parents have taught them, respecting that what they have done has come from the Lord, that they are looking out for their best interests, and even grown, they remember the principles that have been instilled in their minds, and they respect their parents, they have piety toward their parents, they care about their parents, and they do still what their parents have told them to do. The country will tear itself apart when authority is not respected. And the church will fall apart when respect for authority is lost. Authority, authority, authority. Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And when we fail to respect His authority, we will leave His commands. And young people, when you choose to go against the commands of your parents as they're trying to teach you the principles of God, you're not just going against your parents, you're going against God. And this is serious. It's something that we have to talk about. It's a picture of our relationship ultimately with God. And we're striving to be pleasing to God because we respect His authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse number 18. And we don't need or want, we can't venture away from His authority. I want us to get the picture of the home tonight. I want us to be reminded of the respect that we showed the Scriptures, the command that God has given from patriarchal into Mosaic and now the Christian age, that respect has to be shown for parents. And parents, the responsibility is ours to direct them the right way, right? We have to direct them in the ways of the Lord, respecting His authority. And if we're not respecting His authority, then how can we expect our children to obey ours? The command is there. It's very simple. And tonight I want you to understand it. It is said that in 1862, a traveler was roaming around the Dead Sea, and he came in touch with some Rechabites, that they were still in existence just as God said they would be. The promise was made that because they had obeyed their father, God says, you'll not be cut off. In 1862, according to one source that I was looking at, they came across some Rechabites. God seems to keep His promises, doesn't He? Tonight, where are you in the Lord in your relationship? Do you respect God and understand that He alone has authority? Tonight, are you ready to look into the pages of His Word and to do what He tells us to do, respecting that He is our Creator, that He's made us in His image, that we have His law, and we are to respect it and obey it? Tonight, that comes to your salvation. Do you believe tonight that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to make that confession, to repent of sin in your life? Are you ready to be added by the Lord to His church, to become a child of God, to be saved and added to the church, which is the household of God? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. Tonight, will you be added by the Lord where the saved are found? Will you respect the authority of what the Scriptures teach? Will you respect God? Can we sit down and study it? Tonight, if we can help you in any way, please let us do that. But let us walk out of here tonight with a renewed respect for the authority of God, for the home, the way that He has established it. Let us have piety and respect. Let us obey and let us show care even to those who are aging. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, please come while together we stand.